It's been raining in Paradise, California today. Welcome news in some ways after devastating fires that left at least 83 dead, more than 500 are still missing. But also, the rain can be troubling because of the danger of flash floods and mudslides. Many who survived the fires are expressing thanks today for being alive, including Daisha Williams. She teaches counseling and life skills courses at Butte College and Chico State University. She lived in Magalia, next to Paradise, and lost her home. Now, she and her two sons are staying with friends in Chico. Daisha Williams, thanks for being here, and we're so sorry for what you've been through.
Thanks for that, and thanks for having me.
Well, tell us, first of all, about how you managed to escape the day of the fire. How were you able to get yourself and your family out?
So that day, we actually left really early from my town. Mm-hmm. But what no one knew is that they were basically pushing us all right down into the worst part. So all three ways out ended up being blocked with too much traffic or trees that fell or power lines. So we got stuck with absolutely nowhere to go in our vehicles, and emergency personnel after, I mean, this took course over like a few hours trying to mm-hmm. get out. Emergency personnel finally showed up and said, you have to abandon your vehicles and we're going to proceed on foot.
And you had your kids with you at the time.
So I had my one kid who was homesick with a fever and our puppy. And my other child was well, so he was down at school.
Mm-hmm. So what did you do once you were told to get out of the car and go on foot?
So at first I thought, there's no way. There's no way. And then my second thought was to really look around. So I dumped everything out of my backpack for work and threw in some waters and my snack bag and told Anthony, grab blankets, grab the dog. We're going to run, you know. And at that point, it looks like a movie. You know, people are throwing their car doors open. There's smoke around. There's fire. People are screaming and panicking and running up the street.
Did you think you were going to survive?
So at that point, we were so scared. I think you kind of go into like this adrenaline mode. And at that point, I didn't really think about it. But once we got to the cement slab where they had gathered all these people, and the firefighters were telling us, it's going to pass over us. You need to lay on the ground and cover up with whatever you have and brace yourself for impact in case the helicopters can drop water on you. At that point, I didn't think that we were going to make it. Hmm.
Did the helicopters ever drop water on you?
They didn't. I don't know if they determined that it wasn't needed or if they just couldn't get back to us in time.
How did your son handle all this?
So my kiddo was really impressive for his age. I mean, even compared to some of the adults, because people were screaming, we're going to die. People were crying. Somebody was like chanting or singing. So people were really panicked. And my kid, though he was trembling uncontrollably, he didn't lose it. So, you know, we're huddled under this blanket and he just grabs my hand and we start to pray and we say the Lord's Prayer is brief. And that was it. And then we just kind of waited it out. You know, the only thing he said to me was, I'm so glad Dominic isn't here to have to go through this. And that's his little brother.
Mm-hmm. Amazing what kids are able to do when they are put to the test.
Yeah, because, you know, my kids are typical kids and they fight and, you know, they're normal boys. And so when we went to evacuate, my son's looking everywhere for my younger son's prized possession, the stuffed frog, and ended up packing nothing of his own except for his wallet because he said, I figured you might need the money. He took nothing of his own, all his little brother's stuff. So yeah, he stepped up.
So you then found out that you had lost your home in the fire. How did you find that out?
So the neighbors that were physically closest to us, their son-in-law was Cal Fire. And when he went to scope up their home, she asked him to check on ours too. So we actually got word kind of early that it didn't make it and it's completely leveled. That's the crazy thing about this fire. It went through so hard and so violently that everything just got leveled. It's not like there's even little bits of things left. It's just, everything's flattened.
what are you most upset about losing in that home?
You know, it's funny because I tell my kids, and you always hear people say, it's just things, things can be replaced, and they can. But for me, I think it's the Christmas ornaments that my kids made when they were really young. Mm-hmm. You know, those baby handprints, or, you know, I had a couple cards from my kids that were, you know, mommy, I love you. And that type of thing. I think the few things that you hold that are really dear to you with sentimental value, that's hard.
Do you know anyone who was killed in the fire?
I don't, but I will say probably that I don't yet, only because sadly the numbers are so high. Mm-hmm. And Paradise was a small community that my closest relatives and closest neighbors got out, but the numbers are so high of the missing that I'm sure that it's going to end up that I at least know of someone that didn't make it out.
So what are you and your kids and your dog doing now?
So we're doing our best to just, at first you have to just make basic needs. So we're making sure that we gathered enough clothing and that, you know what we're doing for every meal. And right now, luckily, we are staying with a colleague of mine. So we're blessed in actually having a house short term to stay in. So that's been really great because a lot of people are not that fortunate. They're either in their cars or tents or one of the shelters. So we're doing that right now and just decide, you know, it's kind of a day at a time right now getting through this. My son and I got really, really ill from the smoke poisoning. So that took almost a week to really get completely out of our systems. So we kind of have our physical strength back. Now it's the details of, I go back to work on Monday. Mm. They'll go back December 3rd. So just things like that. I may end up having to teach in my jeans because I haven't found any work pants yet, but mm-hmm. You just do it step by step and you just do what you have to do. So right now the shock hasn't quite worn completely off yet. So it's just kind of survival day to day right now.
Do you think you're going to end up going to a shelter?
I don't think so. Only because last year when Oroville was flooding, they set up the Silver Dollar Fairgrounds as a shelter and my kids and I went and volunteered and we saw firsthand what it's like at the shelters. And I know people need them and, you know, it's the best that can be set up right now. But I mean, to kind of give you a visual, we're talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of army cots set up basically without walking distance, even between them. You just kind of have to crawl onto your cot and everyone is in this enclosed area. And so now of course the norovirus is going around. And so for my kids and I, if we didn't have a house to stay in, I would find us a tent somewhere, or we would honestly like camp in the car or drive somewhere. If it came to that, it won't because we have everyone around us, but the shelters are really, they can really compromise your health if you have to stay long term.
So Daisha, after all of this, do you think you're going to continue to live in that area, or do you want to move away from a fire zone?
So we will be moving away from the fire zone. As much as I loved my community, I'm just not willing to take my kids and I back. One of the challenges is that the reason we lived there in the first place is because the cost of living was less than surrounding areas. So we're now down in Chico, which has been a really, really welcoming community and my hometown. But the challenge is that the cost of living is probably double, if not more. Mm-hmm.
What are you going to be doing for Thanksgiving, if anything? And of course, it'd be understandable if nothing, but what do you think?
So we've decided that we are going to have just a very tiny, humble meal. We've had a lot of really great offers for joining people's families, but I think for my kids and I, it's best that we just have a tiny celebration. And honestly, this year, Thanksgiving isn't going to be like, it won't be any different than what we're doing every night right now. I mean, we're constantly giving thanks right now that we made it out and that we are reunited. So I think for us, every day from now on is going to be Thanksgiving in a way.
That is Daisha Williams of Magalia, California, survivor of the Camp Fire. Daisha, thank you so much for joining us, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Thank you, Jeremy. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.